and believers with L&L. L, how are you?
I'm well. Nothing different. Nothing unusual.
Nothing unusual at all.
No. Completely normal. Mm.
No. I feel exactly the same as normal.
Yeah, same here. Slightly itchy. But I don't very know why.
Itchy. Under the nose?
Yeah, under the nose. Precisely. I just don't know why. Yeah.
It could be because I grew a mustache.
How often do you grow yours out? Because I have been meaning to shave mine for a little bit of time now. I think I might keep it.
You know, I think it suits you.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the itching.
Yeah, it gets very itchy under the nose and it's a bit sticky.
Sticky. A little bit sticky.
Okay, for our audience who cannot see us, who's only listening, we are dressed up as Freddie Mercury now for absolutely no reason.
Yes. Woo woo, woo woo.
But it's a little bit, I feel a bit stiff.
I feel very stiff.
Yeah.
I also feel like I'm getting a slight speech impediment.
Me too. Like
a slight speech.
Yes, I feel like I'm talking like this.
But you know what's funny is that with the giant mustache on, your facial, like I can see less and less of your face, which means that like you're, when you're talking, it just seems like you have a straight face the whole entire time. Yeah,
whereas you kind of look just really happy.
Really?
You just look like... So I can't even laugh right. You look like Luigi.
Really?
Really bad. Like, you really look like Luigi.
Wahoo!
That's Mario.
I know, but what does Luigi say?
Ow! Like when he gets hit in Mario Kart. I don't know. Who do I look like? Do I look like anyone to you?
You feel more like a character. Like, I can see you with a hat and, like, a... Not Charlie Chaplin. Is that his name? Kind of,
yeah,
but not.
Yeah, he has, like, a Hitler stash.
Yeah, he has a little tiny stash. But, like, you have the features of a Mario. Maybe like a policeman in the olden days. I can imagine you with
you
the
hat.
You
know what I feel like? I look for more village people.
Yes, you do.
That's what
look
I look
more
like.
People.
It looks like the mustache is actually very... you. Whereas I feel like I look village people.
You look very like young man. There's no need to.
Are you telling me I look like a dude? Because you just told me I have very manly features.
No. Your moustache is slowly dripping down on one side and it kind of looks like you're a bit losing it on one end.
Oh, it's pretty fun. Sure you just told me I look like a dude.
Oh, dude looks like a lady.
Macho man. My laugh is going to sound very different.
I love it.
Yes. I feel like there's not many people that I can just put fake mustaches on with, Elle.
I know. I'm glad you're one of the people I can do this with.
Mm-hmm.
And if you too are listening at home, put on a fake mustache.
Put on a fake mustache and you can be like one of us. And also, we went and got pet collars to put them on our arm.
Such a good idea.
Think Freddie Mercury during Live Aid.
Yes.
Yes.
Fiado. Why am I always singing?
Fiado. Because that's what he does.
Oh, I'm like,
Fiado. Like that. But much better than what I just did.
Yes.
Ayo.
Oh, feels good. Mm-hmm. We also left our black bras on so that it could look
like
chest
hair.
Chest
although
hair.
You can't see
although I probably could have left my actual chest hair there. But like,
you probably could have.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, probably could have left my actual chest hair.
So I shave my chest hair like a real man.
Incredibly hard because I'm such a sweaty gal. I'm such a sula. I get the worst sula.
You're such a sula.
That, like, it's slowly flipping off this.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Anyways,
as I was saying,
mm-hmm.
sometimes with different friends, you can do different things with.
Oh, yeah.
You are, I mean, like, you don't consider me as a friend, but I consider you as a friend. That's been evident on this podcast. But you are a friend that I can do these weird shit with, and it's not odd.
It's not.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. It isn't odd. It feels just natural.
Yeah.
I think there are definitely friends for different things in life.
Yes.
Like you have.
Yes. I can't stop talking like
that. Yes. Tell me more. Yes, tell me more as I rub my fingers.
Yes, rub my booger. Rub my booger together in a ball. Yeah.
This is so fun. I feel like there's definitely friends for different reasons in life. Mm. And I think that something I've actually really struggled with recently is being in the same... like, there's friends that you had fun with when you're in high school and you used to make so many memories with them.
Yep.
And, like, you'd have your inside jokes and all that stuff. And then as high school finishes, as you get into adulthood, everyone kind of drifts off into their own,
of course,
sort of sections of life. Of course. And it's, like, when you see that person, I've, like, watched this video a couple weeks ago where this guy was saying that, like, when you see that person again, you start, your hangouts just become like you exchanging like facts about your life now.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Rather than
you actually making new memories person. And I feel that now at this age more than ever. Like, I feel like every time I find time to spend time with a friend, like, we're all in such different stages of life. So many of us are like doing different things with our spare time that, like, when we do get the chance to hang out, it's like once every month at this point, if it's even that.
That's actually often, I feel like, for adult life.
Yeah. But, like, it's still, like, there's other friends that, like, I don't see them. Maybe I'll see them twice a year, and that twice a year feels like it's, like, 6 months of, like, full-on catching up on that friend's life. But, yeah, I think it, like, comes down to just, like, different stages of life and, like, and also, like, realizing that, like, your values might not be the same as they were when you were, like, 18. And that's okay.
Yeah, of course. See, I found the whole different stage of life thing very difficult to deal with because I didn't know anyone else who was married at the age that I got married. I got married at 21, so these days it's very
How
young.
Long ago was that, Elle? About 40 years ago?
It feels like it.
You just look like an old man telling me
I look
me
like an old man. Back in my day, I got married when I was 21.
Yeah.
So I got married when I was 21. I don't feel like marriage was really a problem for me. Like, I still felt, I don't think marriage changed my life more than what I did when I was single. I still just, you know, just stayed at home.
Yeah, I still just chilled at home.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah. But
it shouldn't really change anything anyway.
No, marriage didn't change my life at all. So I did not feel that disconnect with my friends. But having a baby, that's where I felt a major, major disconnect.
I can't take you seriously. Like, I'm listening, like, yeah, and then I see your mouth at the bottom and I'm like, oh, God, I can't take you seriously.
I felt a major disconnect with my friends when I had a baby.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Because I feel like, do you find that it was from your end or from their end or a little bit of both?
From my end. Really? From my end, yeah, for sure. I found, but maybe because it was my experience with, like, postpartum anxiety and postpartum depression, I felt like it was really hard to get out of the mum mind frame and into the friend mind frame. So I felt like I just had personally a lot of trouble connecting with other people in general, not just friends. It also felt the same with family because I couldn't get my head out of this thing, and I was actually very aware of it. So I really felt the disconnect between me and everyone, and I could tell in my brain that it's because I couldn't get out of this mode that I was in.
Yeah, you were just in mum mode at that time.
Yeah.
That would have been really hard.
It was, Elle. Yeah. It was.
What do you think has, like, helped pull you out of that mode? Like, as in, do you find that now that your son's, like, a toddler sort of age, like, do you find that you've mingled more with other mums and, like, you've found more people in that kind of area, or you feel like you've kind of found your identity again and then it's kind of gone
definitely,
back?
Definitely the second one. I found my identity again, and I figured that I can actually talk about other things other than my son, because for a while that I had no idea what I was going to talk about with anyone.
Yeah.
Because I don't have any mum friends. No one around me has still had a baby. Like, one of my best friends now is about to have a baby, which, thank God, it's my mum friend now. Yahoo! Yeah. Woohoo! I feel like I could say that now, and it looks right.
Yeah.
My son's gotten older. My postpartum depression's gotten a little bit better. I no longer have postpartum anxiety. So I've definitely just found a way to be able to connect with people. But the thing is, sometimes when we're talking to guests.
Oh, on the podcast.
Yeah, sometimes I do feel the disconnect because a lot of times we're talking with people our age or younger, Elle.
Yeah, very good point.
And more often than not, people our age or younger these days do not have kids. So sometimes when we're kind of talking about each other in the interview, sometimes I can only relate to what the person is saying from the point of view of a parent.
That makes sense.
So that is like, oh, but it doesn't suit the conversation that we're having. Yeah. So oftentimes I hold back from what comes up in my mind to say.
Yeah, I feel like you shouldn't though still. But I can understand why you do, because I feel like it's just natural to sort of feel like, okay, am I going to steer this off topic?
Yeah.
And like, how will these people respond to kind of input here? So
I think you need to know your audience. And a lot of the times people that we interview are not the audience.
Yeah, we definitely have the other end of things. Yeah. So then we interview people that are definitely on the other age side of things. And I definitely see how in those episodes that you can flourish and that you get to, yeah. I can see that, that you let that part of you more out.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
Mm. Mm. What about you, Elle?
I think that I'm kind of in this weird space at the moment, being 28, mm-hmm. where I'm not quite 30 yet,
mm-hmm.
but everyone's starting to panic about being 30.
Mm. And yeah, I can feel the yeah. I can feel the pressure coming.
Yeah,
that 30 is coming. I can yeah. feel it.
Every couple of weeks, like someone's gonna be like, "Oh, it's only 2 months left until I'm 30," and then the other, like, until I'm 29, and then this one's like, "It's next year. It's next year." So like, people are that at panic
least
it, is sort of
at least it's not next year for us yet.
Yes, I've got like next year in a month.
Yes,
but I. With that, I think that it's a odd age where, like, some of your friends are still living at home. Some of your friends are still, like, working the same job they did when we were, like, 18, which is totally fine because I'm technically always doing that as well.
Yeah.
And then there's some friends that are really successful in their career and they're, like, traveling and they're going to state for work and doing all those things and they're really career-focused. And then there's friends, like you said before, like, that are having families and are buying houses and, like, getting married. And then there's other friends that are still single and they're still going out every single weekend. It's a very,
It's an odd place to be in when you're kind of in the middle of all that.
Exactly. And I wouldn't say I'm the only person with friend groups that are like that. I feel like a lot of people in like their mid to late 20s are sort of in this same boat. And like, it's confusing because you yourself, you might have a direction of where you think you want to be by the time you hit 28.
Mm.
But once you hit 28, you're like, oh, like, well, actually I'm not. Like, I don't have a bunch of savings to go buy a house like I thought I would have, like, in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And I actually, I'm not, like, at a place where I want to, like, settle down and get married and have children yet, even though I thought I would have been like that by the time I hit, like, 25, 26.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big
one. So it's really weird thinking about, like, the expectations I had for myself when I was, like, maybe 20, making these expectations in my head. And then once I've hit those ages, kind of being like, oh, well, I don't know if I actually want any of those things right now. And then realizing that and then trying to communicate with that with certain friend groups. And then certain friend groups are like, oh, I'm not thinking about that at all anymore. But then the other friend groups are like, well, why aren't you thinking like that? Like, that's what I'm thinking about. And it leaves you in this kind of weird space of kind of second guessing what you really want. It's really easy to like start second guessing what you really want because you're hearing so many opinions from other people from one end of the spectrum to the other. And it kind of clouds your own judgment of what is right for you instead of what's right for your age bracket. Yeah. So I feel like that's something that not only myself but a few people around me have been feeling lately.
I heard this great quote, actually. A random woman said it on TikTok. I don't even know who it was.
Yeah.
But she said that 30, the decade of your 30s is like an amazing decade.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're young enough to really start your life over. Basically, like how you are in your 20s, you're that young to be able to do things like that, but you're old enough to have had a little bit of life experience.
Yeah.
So 30s is like an amazing decade. That's what I've heard.
I've heard the same thing. I've been kind of excited for it, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm a little bit excited for my 30s. By the time I'm 35, my son will be 10. And I really like that idea.
I think that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
See, and then for me, like, again, kind of showing the contrast, right? Like for me, I'm like, oh, by the time I'm 35, like maybe then I'll be ready to have a child. And that's how I'm thinking of it, like, oh, but then at that point I'll have, like, a one-year-old.
Yeah.
And, like, it's so crazy that, like, we could be the exact same age, which we are. Same age, same income, same name.
Same mustache.
Same mustache. But we're wanting two different things out of, like, what our life, like, what we want out of our life in terms of, like, our own, like, the way we want to spend each and every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think it's totally easy to sort of sometimes get confused and start comparing your life to someone else's life really quickly. But it's, at the end of the day, what I've learned over the last couple of years is like, okay, in those moments where I am on my own, I have to really like sit and actually think, okay, take away what everyone else is doing. What is it that me, Elle, wants to do?
Exactly.
And I think that's been really helpful in realizing that like 30 is not that scary. Age doesn't really make a difference to in terms of anything. Like if I want something in my life, it will come in, it will enter my life in the time frame that it's right for me.
Exactly.
But I have found that over the last, like, I would say the last, like, 3-4 years, it's taken me a lot to sort of get to that place, to sort of, like, to not be swept away with the, like, crowd of, like, what you should be doing rather than what I would like to do.
Yeah. No, I totally understand that. Because I feel that the opposite way.
Yeah.
I feel like I've done what traditionally you should be doing.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm missing out.
Yeah.
Even though I'm traditionally doing what I should be doing.
Yeah, you've ticked the boxes of what society has said is a good human.
Yes. But I feel like I've missed out.
Yeah.
Because I spent, like what feels like a good chunk of my 20s being at home.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, for me, what I'm happy about is that I raised my baby young and now in my 30s, I get to enjoy him.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And then it's just interesting that like, yeah, like I said before, like that's everyone's like, it's so okay for everyone to look at it in a completely different way as well.
Yeah. And I think it's also about perspective. And this might be a bit like, what's the word I'm after? Like really sad way of thinking about it. But you hear on the news or something that someone passes away at 35.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, oh my God, their life was just beginning.
Yeah.
And they died so young. So why is it when we see something like that about something else and we automatically think to ourselves, oh my God, they were so young, so much of their life they've missed out. They're only at the beginning, you know, they've only had a taste of life. But then we think of ourselves as 35.
Yes.
And we're like, fuck, I'm old. Why haven't I done anything? What have I done with my life? Yeah. Why can't we have that same thing about ourselves?
It's literally just like having that bit of like, I guess it does come down to some extent like gratitude and just appreciation for the fact that like of life, like the miracle of life itself.
Exactly.
It's really crazy. Like that, it all comes down to that big thing of like, it's so easy to get swept away with like the commotion of what society
the day-to-day
says.
Shit as well. The day-to-day shit. Which really, the day-to-day shit is sometimes literally just full of shit.
It is. It is actually full of shit.
Yeah.
And the moments that you remember, the moments that make you feel like you're full of life are the ones that you are actually just spending time with the quality people around you that you love and that you're truly living life with to make memories.
Exactly. Exactly.
The in-between stuff, the moments where you're like just ticking shit off of a list.
Yeah.
That stuff, it's all well and good if that's what you want to be doing as well. But like, it's the things, it doesn't make a difference whether you're ticking those things off the list or whether you're not ticking those things off the list, because we're all ultimately feeling the same way because we're basing life off of the same type of small memories that we get to have. So I feel like, yeah. No, if you're someone listening and you're on one end of that spectrum where you're still living at home, you're like still not sure what you want to be doing with your life and you kind of just are taking it day by day, it's all okay. And if you're on the other end where you've like done the house, you've done the family, you've done the kids, marriage and all that stuff, and you're just still kind of like, wow, I still don't know what I want to do with my life.
Oh, look at me.
But it was all like that taking that time to be by yourself and like really
just
figuring out your own
try
values and beliefs.
Yeah, doesn't try have to new try. Stuff. Doesn't, who cares if you fall?
Exactly.
It will just end up leading you to the path that you're meant to be on.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, well, that's our PSA for today.
Yeah.
Let's get on to the actual meat and beans of the episode,
Meat and beans.
I'll give you some canned beans. I'll give you some canned beans. Put your stash while you're on the road at the truck stop.
Okay. Oh, this moustache stings to laughing.
I'm so itchy. I know. It's actually insane. Better end the episode so I
you know
what
are
you doing? Are you licking your stash?
Yeah, like, you know how men like lick their stash? They're like
no.
I feel like they kind of like, or should I get like a little brush to brush it out? I don't know. I feel like I want to incorporate and make myself feel extra manly by like...
We have great guests for this episode.
We do.
Oh my God. Guests. We have been so excited about these guys. We absolutely loved talking to them. They were just so much fun to talk to. We had a really good laugh.
We did.
We got to speak to Johnny, Joey and Nick from Nightly.
Yes. Sounds like the Jonas Brothers, but it is not.
It is not. It does sound like the Jonas Brothers.
They add like a Johnny to a Kevin and it's all right. Same thing.
Yeah, Johnny, Joey. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I really, really had a great time like getting to know them and just seeing their banter between them, seeing that they've obviously been in each other's lives for a really long time and have, like we said earlier in the episode, like made memories with each other that you can tell that they're bonded. Like
yeah, for sure.
Just the moment that they spoke to each other and the way that they were talking, it just felt really like nice seeing a band that really wanted to be together and come together.
Yeah. And plus they've got amazing music.
Oh, such good music.
Like very earwormy. We talk about it a lot in the episode. Elle and I have basically come up with our own like version of a song and they actually really loved it.
Yes. It was good. Yeah.
Before we talk to Johnny, Joey, and Nick, we must ask you a few things. If you could please follow us on Patreon, follow us on whatever podcast app that you like to listen to. Oh my God, such a tongue twister, these things, especially with a mustache.
Yeah.
Whew.
And if you like what you're listening to, please rate us a 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5.
5 out of 5. It helps us out. It does the job. It helps us. Please do it. Yes,
do it. Do it now.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back with Johnny, Joey, and Nick. Woo! Want to try something new with our guests, basically. And it's like this or that music edition. I hope you've heard of everyone. These are very, like, main bands that everyone's heard of. So it should be all right.
Okay.
All right, the first one is The Beatles or Rolling Stones?
Oh, my God.
Rolling Stones. Easy Beatles.
So okay. I don't know if we could be friends.
That's so hard.
Why'd
you have to ask the question?
You actually, it was like the first question you had to put in, like, the top.
All right, let me present my argument.
Yes, please.
Okay, The Beatles, obviously, genre/music-defining band. Rolling Stones, been doing it for 60 years, okay? Beatles were only around for like a handful of albums.
Okay.
And they broke up, and then they didn't, and then whatever. You can still go see the Rolling Stones to this day.
Well, that's because one of them's dead, dude.
Well, yeah, okay.
Rolling Stones.
Two of them. Yeah, I need to say that.
Here's my thought with the Beatles is their songs are way better.
Yes!
Their musicianship is hands down better.
Yep.
And I don't listen to the Rolling Stones. Like, when I want to listen to music, I'm not like, I want to put the Rolling Stones on. I would maybe put the Beatles on, but I would rather go see the Rolling Stones live.
Obviously, interesting.
Still around, I'd still rather go see the Stones live, but I just think
the greatest live Stones ever.
The Beatles are just pretty good. All around, I think.
All around, a good band.
Man,
you still stuck?
I can't, I honestly don't know. I watched that Beatles documentary on Apple or Disney or whatever.
Get Back or something?
Yeah.
What's his name? The guy who made the Lord of the Rings trilogy. What's his name? Peter Jackson. That one?
Peter Jackson, yeah. Mm. It was really long. It's like 4 parts of each part, like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I would say I think that the Beatles like are better, but I, for some reason, like the Rolling Stones more. Like I listen to the Rolling Stones more, but I think if I had to choose one, I'd say probably the Beatles.
I'm just saying, if you had to choose one career path.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, I just, to your argument, I understand you. I see you.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh?
I see you with your argument. The only thing I need to add is that the greatest stories end in tragedy. So the Beatles had to die quickly because they are the best of all time.
No.
I'm with you on that one now.
Honestly, you make a really great counter argument.
I love the Stones, though, and I'd rather go see them, and I think they're cooler.
Yeah.
But I just think overall.
They are probably cooler. I can admit they are probably cooler.
Yeah.
I have to say the Beatles.
How many of the Rolling
Stones? I'm going to go Beatles.
Exactly.
What was the question?
I asked how many of the Rolling Stones had been knighted. Have any of them been knighted?
Oh!
Sir Keith Richard? That sounds
right. No, that doesn't sound right.
Mixing Jaggers?
I don't know. Sorry.
All right.
No, that was great answers, guys.
That was great answers. I respect it.
And good arguments.
I
really appreciate
them. I respect
them.
It. All right, the next one. Queen or Elton John?
Queen.
I'd say Queen.
Yeah, I'd say Queen. Queen.
That was a little bit of an easy one.
Freddie Mercury, greatest male vocalist of all time, dude.
Agreed.
Other than John Kibisi, yeah.
Yeah. Queen, all right, that was an easy one.
I mean, I would argue Queen is one of the best bands of all time.
Oh, 100%.
Agreed.
One of, yeah. 100%.
No shade to Elton John, though. I love
him. No,
no shade.
Yeah, it's just not as like, I just get a bit over him after a while.
No, I get
that. I don't think I ever get sick of listening to Queen. Ever.
Yeah, all their songs are so different.
So good.
Amazing. Yeah.
I get that. That was kind of an easy one.
That should have been your first
question. Yeah, that was
easier. No, I wanted to throw you guys off from the start. Okay. All right, this next one for me is very difficult. Okay. Bon Jovi or Guns N' Roses?
Bon Jovi, because he's from Jersey.
Oh.
I'm going to say Bon Jovi.
Yeah. Yes. Yes!
So I'm the only one that's on Guns N' Roses because I don't like Bon Jovi, but
it's amazing.
Hey, you know, that's all right. That's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I do like his songs though. Like I always say his songs because I think of John, but
I always think that John Bon Jovi has. If you had to pick someone that represented an angel, It would be John Bon Jovi. Especially in the 90s when you had that, like, that little haircut that was like, I'm
here.
Hair,
dude.
Oh, yeah. You don't think of Bret Michaels when you think of an angel?
Yes, I think of Bret Michaels because I'm obsessed with Bret Michaels. Personally, I see John Bon Jovi. He's the voice and face of an angel. He was so pretty.
Nah, Bret Michaels is pretty, man. Look, if you see his eyes.
I don't know. I would say that.
I was just kidding about Bret, honestly.
I know.
I love
Bret Michaels. The Rock and Love is the best show of all time, but, dude.
Exactly.
You can't
get yeah.
He's insane.
It's incredible.
Avril Lavigne or Pink?
Mm. Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, I'd go Avril too.
Which one? The one that's been replaced by like,
Ooh, original Avril.
Oh.
Okay, we'll go to the OG Avril. Pink's
from Philly, so yeah, I'm going to say Pink. But also, no, Pink still sells out stadiums, bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She is such a hit in Australia.
Yeah, Pink is massive in Australia. Yeah.
Bro, I learned that. So John and I are cousins, and one of our cousins tour managed for her for a second. And he told me that she like sold like 7 nights in a row out at the Sydney stadium.
Yeah.
Is it the Opera House?
Yeah.
No, like an actual stadium there, right?
Yeah. One of the stadiums where we live as well, like it's, I think she had 11 shows or she's having, like there's another concert coming out where she's got another.
Crazy. Yeah, like the world record in Australia sold out. It's unbelievable.
It's like she's the Beatles of Australia.
Literally.
It's Pink Mania down here.
It really is. It's Pink crazy. But Pink, I reckon as well, her songs when it was like early 2000s, 90s actually hit so like they're very good.
No, so I would pick.
Skateboard does. Oh, definitely, and complicated. Like I really think. Yeah, I can't not pick Avril.
In my defense, Avril, like when she came on the radio, there was nothing else like her.
Nothing.
No, agreed. Yeah. You're so right.
I mean, Pink, she's super original too, but I feel like she started out and it was like pretty, just like pop, and a lot of people are doing pop. But like Avril was like,
no, girl, she definitely broke into the scene.
Skater girl on the radio, like
that's fair.
Top 10 songs,
which
is just like, unheard of.
Plus, she's an insane songwriter, Avril Lavigne. Like a lot of Kelly Clarkson's song. Oh my god, I can't even think of what that's. One of Kelly Clarkson's like biggest songs, "Breakaway," was written by Avril Lavigne.
I know, I knew that.
Good job, I'm proud of you. Wow. Thank you for knowing.
Well done.
Yeah.
Avril Lavigne. I'll be showing my tattoos.
All right. So what was our final answers? Was everyone...
We're going, I think, Avril, me and Nika Avril.
Okay, I'm Pink. But anyway.
I'm pink.
Yeah.
All right, two more, guys. Two more. Coldplay or The Killers?
Oh, my God. You can't do that
too fast. You went in too fast.
Yeah. But The Killers...
Coldplay over everyone.
Oh, really?
You're obsessed? Right?
The Killers,
One of my favorite bands.
Here's the thing. Same. When Killers came out, nothing it was like...
Nothing like it.
There was nothing like them.
But I always say the thing about Coldplay, they're my favorite band ever, but the way they've evolved is no one's ever done anything like that.
No.
Music. Like, their first album to their fifth album is...
They've kept up with the times and they've just stayed so consistent and relevant.
It's very true.
At least every album, at least one hit.
Yeah, I know.
They had the Chainsmokers' biggest song.
Exactly. It's case in point.
It's a great thing because they're like super relevant and like they have super pop hits and it's like their biggest song is with Coldplay.
Wow.
But love The Killers.
When You Were Young by The Killers kind of changed my life.
Just The Bright Side, dude.
Oh, I know. I remember
when You Were Young came out, because I think they released it on MySpace first.
Right. The days.
And I remember.
The days.
I swear my life. And I had to my internet wasn't great, so I literally had to sit there when it came out, and like you had to let the whole song load before you But like it would load for like 5 minutes and I would hit play. It would play like 10 seconds and it would stop. You like reloaded.
Good times, right? Good times.
I love MySpace.
MySpace, MSN.
Yeah, amazing. Love The Killers, man. That's so great.
So good. Okay. All right. Last one, guys. Last one. Blink-182 versus Sum 41.
Oh, Blink-182.
Definitely Blink-182,
yeah, but you have to go Blank.
Man, Sum 41 had the whole rapping kind of thing happening too, which was like kind of genre breaking at the time. But yeah, gotta go
Blink. Blink's just a game changer.
Yeah, Blink is hot. Good choices, guys.
Good choices. Well done. We see, we got through it. We got through it. We managed. We got it. Okay. I thought that was good.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. What did you guys say? Coldplay or Killers?
Oh, I'd go. Oh.
It's hard.
Probably Coldplay.
I think I would go Killers, but only because I've seen them live like three times, and it was some of them. I really, really.
I've seen Coldplay twice.
I've seen Coldplay once as well. Like, oh, now I'm. I forgot I've seen Coldplay
concert.
Oh. Yeah, I'm pretty tired, to be honest. I would agree, maybe because of not personal preference of what I like to listen to, but in general of a band, I would say Coldplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I can respect that, Elle. I can respect that. So now, what we'd love to know is how you guys got your start in music.
How we got our start, like as a band or like as before the band?
I guess individually, like what made you want a career in music, and then I guess how you guys formed the band as well.
This is my puppy. I just rescued her like three or 4 weeks ago.
Aww.
She's not feeling very well, so I'm like taking her with me everywhere. So sorry.
Aww, totally understandable. No, that's okay.
Out of the shot. I don't know. I personally remember loving music since like a really young age, and Joey and our cousins, like you said, we grew up together, and we were like playing music, like buying matching guitars at like age 11, just like, you know. So it's kind of, it's honestly, I feel like I'm just bad at everything else, so it wasn't so much as like wanting a career in music, it's just like not being good at anything else. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, my mom's made me take guitar lessons when I was in like the seventh grade, and the guitar teacher taught me like power chords the first lesson, and I was just like instantly hooked. And then that's kind of like what John and I did growing up. We just were in bands, like we just would like would just make us like a stupid band name, and then we would just like rehearse like 500 times and then play one show, and then you know, rehearse another 200 times and maybe play some one more show and start a different band.
Yeah.
And I mean I've had like a million like odd jobs, but I just always came back to music because it's the only thing that I felt like I was like fulfilled doing, if that makes sense.
Definitely makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I started playing like drums in like middle school for like concert band and stuff. And then, I mean, it wasn't until high school till I met my friend Mark, and he was like playing guitar in the jazz band and like asked me to be in a band. And then I feel like just from like then on, it was just like, oh, that's, I definitely just want to be in the band.
Joey and I, like I said, we were kind of in bands since high school, like before high school. And then we were in a band, and that like band broke up, and we basically had booked a trip to LA to like write for that band. And then there was another member and he quit. So we were like, well, we have these like non-refundable flights. Let's just go to LA and like make some music, and maybe we'll just, you know, be songwriters or like whatever, try and send the songs to get in TV shows or whatever. Yeah. So we went out there for like 2 weeks maybe, and we made a couple songs, and we just put them on like a private link that we later found out that we were like individually listening to the songs a ton on our own, like being like, man, these are actually kind of sick. So we got a couple months later, we were just like, dude, I think we should do something like with these songs. And then we found, so when we were putting the band together, we found Nick actually at church. He was playing drums. Nice. I was singing at church between bands, just because we like, again, love music.
Yeah. John came up like after church. He called me and was like, yo, you have to hear this drummer. He's literally amazing. I was like, dude, there's no way that there's a drummer that good playing at a church in Nashville.
At church.
So then, no, I think we were playing. Okay. Then it finished because I want to talk about how great of a drummer Nick is. So, the next week I went with him that Nick was playing, and he played, and I was like, dude, what is this guy doing? This is amazing. We have to get him. We have to just share the songs with him at least and see if he wants to be part of this, because he's like ridiculous. So we sent Nick the songs. John gave Nick the songs. And then now this is where the story takes two different viewpoints, mm-hmm. because John and I have one viewpoint of what happened, and Nick has a very strong opinion of what happened.
Oh, interesting. Tell us.
Yeah, I was going to say my opinion was that I had to like hound him and just like keep asking him, like, join our band, listen to
please,
for weeks, and then finally he's like, all right, I'll come over. And
no, the thing is, I played with him whatever Sunday that was, and I was like, oh, this kid's like super sick, like I love his voice. Like, I didn't really talk to him like beforehand or anything, so like after the service I remember I was like, oh, I just want to go like see what's up, like maybe we can like follow each other on Instagram or something. And I remember I was like walking around, and then I walked through a door, and then he was like walking through, and I was like, oh, yo, what's up, man? He goes, oh, hey, I was looking for you. And I was like, sick. And then I played it. That, but like I was looking for him because I want to say what's up, and like,
yeah, play it cool means making us ask him for weeks.
That's hilarious. I love that you found, they found you at church. Like, I'm thinking about, like, how hard did you go at church? Like, were you is it like one of those scenarios where you were like Phil Collinsing it to the Tarzan soundtrack, or like,
bro, it wasn't it wasn't like he was doing like insane stuff. It just was, he was so
you can just tell.
Amazing. You can just feel it.
Somebody like at that level, you can just tell. Like, they could be playing something simple. It's like John Mayer's drummers, you know what I mean?
Aaron Sterling.
They just have such a pocket or whatever. And that's that was just like what we could tell.
And everything he did was just like really well placed. I don't know. I was just very impressed. I'm ask anyone, I'm like, a drummer is hard to please me. And like, when I really like a drummer,
I really please him though.
No, he does.
You really please him. He's very pleased.
Yeah, not to like, you know, sometimes I'll go to like a show and stuff, and all I can focus on is the drummer. I'm like, man, this drummer is so bad. But so like, when I hear a really good drummer, it like gets me stoked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that makes total sense.
And how long ago was this? How long have you guys been together?
2016.
Wow.
I thought you were going to say 20 years ago. I was like, what?
Yeah, this is 25 years ago.
30 years ago. So how old are you guys?
We can't answer that legally. It's going to be redacted from this. I'm kidding. How old do you think we are?
I thought you were like our age, and we're 28.
But then I was like, you seem much younger. But then I think that's only because you remind me of Luke from Modern Family, and so I was like, "Oh my god!"
Bro, like, do you want to hear a funny story about that?
Please. Yes, we have time.
So
I'm leaving this.
It was actually on that trip when we went out to LA.
Yeah,
John and I went to get this at like a diner or something, and we were waiting on an Uber, and this guy comes up to us with his son, and he's like, oh my god, like, my son's such a huge fan of
family,
like, love you. And John was like really nice, but he was like, hey man, I'm really sorry, I'm not that guy. And the guy was like, dude, it's you, like, I know it's you. And then John was like, no dude, I'm really sorry, I'm that's not me, my name's John. And the guy was like, the kid was like really sad, and the guy got like really mad at John. He was like,
oh my god,
come on man, he loves your show. And John was like, dude,
I was like, I'll take a picture with you.
Yeah. And the guy that walked away so upset. Yeah. He's just like, I don't even think they look that much alike at all, especially in person.
I was going to say, like, you can tell that you're not, but then we put the photos side by side.
We were comparing, I'm not going to lie, we were comparing you and that guy this morning. You have a lot of similarities.
Similarities, but I feel like if you said no, I'd be like, okay, it's not, it's not him.
Don't push it.
Right. Yeah, well, I don't know.
It's a compliment.
It is a good thing. That kid's a genius, I'm pretty sure. Like, he's like, IQ. Yeah, he's meant to have like an insane IQ, that kid.
He does.
He's so he looks like me and he's smarter than me.
And he made more money than you. Other than that, you're doing fine.
Tell us about Like I Do, by the way, guys. So, like, the song Like I Do has been stuck in it. We cannot tell you we literally, every time I come to her house, I like walk into the house and we're like,
anyone beside you.
It's like so into our heads that we start singing it in different accents as we're like, you know, have you guys ever done that? It turns into like a country song.
What accent?
It just kind of, it gets folky. Like,
yeah, it gets folky.
Like, anyone beside you. You know, and it just gets like this. You know?
We'll have the alt version.
But yeah, how did that song come about? How did, like, in terms of writing songs, is that all a collaboration between the three of you now?
Yeah, so that one's actually like got a pretty like weird story, which we have never really written a song like this before, but we were kind of like, it was one of the last songs that we wrote, like, or no, maybe, I don't know, it was probably...
It was, like, later end.
It was towards the end, like, three or maybe after that. Yeah, I don't know, but, we kind of, like, so we had a bulk of the record, and we knew that there was a couple vibes missing, and I saw this thing on TikTok, I hate to say it, but it was, like, the... it was a performance. Coldplay actually was performing on Jimmy Kimmel, I believe, or one of the late night shows that we have over here. And it was like the 20-year anniversary of Clocks, the song Clocks.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And so they did this live performance where every section of the song, like Chris Martin was kind of like walking from room to room and all the instruments changed. Like they're still playing like that iconic part, you know, that. So, and it would be like a gospel choir singing it. And then he'd walk into another room and it would be like an orchestra playing it on strings and blah, blah, blah. And then at the very end, it was like the full band.
Yeah.
So I was just like, dude, what if we did a song that each section like changed like pretty dramatically. So that was the idea. I think it's not actually
in the production, if you like solo different tracks and stuff, there is a new element doing that same thing in every section of the song. But once it's all put together, it doesn't
sound like that different. But all that to say is it started with this one kind of like arpeggiated thing, and we were like doing it on like a toy piano, we were doing it on a real piano, we were doing it on strings, like,
and I think in the song it is like synth, and then I think there is guitar that does it, and then I think the toy piano does come in somewhere,
yeah,
but sections aren't as drastic as,
not as drastic, yeah, as
so
originally
thought, yeah. Maybe we'll still use that idea for another song, but that honestly
it's a cool idea,
led us to writing the song, because it was like we wrote the progression, had the vibe, wrote like a majority of the lyrics just kind of like came out immediately, and we were like, oh, this is sick, and we didn't know like how sick it was immediately, and then maybe a week later when we finished it, we were like, actually, this is like really sick, we should make this one of the singles. So
it really is an amazing song, and we weren't lying or joking when we were saying that it has been stuck in our heads.
Yeah, it's very earwormy.
Thank and you. I really yeah. like how you guys have in your Spotify description that these are songs to drive to,
because it does feel like they all and they all mention driving a lot of the time. But like,
but that could not be more true.
Yeah, I don't know. That's like the best. I don't know. To me, that's like the best kind of music is music you just want to get in the car and drive to. Like that's where I listen to the majority of music. Mm. Like I don't listen to music personally a ton just because we make it all day.
Yeah,
and sometimes I'm just like, if I'm in the gym or whatever, I'll do like a lot of podcasts and stuff. Driving, yeah, like I don't know, just something about driving at night and listening to music.
I agree.
It feels right.
It feels so good.
It really
is. Songs sound better when you're in the car,
especially when there's like the street lights and stuff at night as well. Specifically at nighttime driving, it just hits very differently. And alone listening to music in the car.
Yes, of course.
Beautiful.
Tell us about 20 something. That is a really great song, and it had like I'm looking at your Spotify right now, and it has 22 and a half million streams. That is freaking crazy. Like, how did it feel to bring out such a hit like that?
That one actually has like kind of an interesting story too. Not it won't be as long as the last one. And I've told this on tour sometimes too, but when we first started, we were signed to a record label, and not to get too deep into that, but a lot of times people move around in those companies. So essentially that happened to us. The person who signed us left, kind of got stuck in the system, and we were making this EP, and we had, I mean, how long were we in the studio, like making songs? A couple months.
3 weeks.
We literally did like,
that's the longest we've ever been in an actual studio.
12 to 14 songs.
Yeah, it was a lot. And it was, I don't know, we were kind of having a hard time, maybe, it was one of the like hardest times, I feel like, because we got in a big fight, I remember, in the studio.
Big fight.
And there was just so much happening with the label where they were having people come into the studio and try and, like, give advice while we were making this. Like, it was the most awful, messed up thing. Like, the thing that you see in movies where it's, like, all these, like, you know, label suits coming in and giving their opinion. It's just, like, it's just not how, like, art should be made. And so we were having a hard time, like, I think, agreeing on what the project should be. But the one song that the three of us loved and we were like, this is something, was 20-something. The funny thing is nobody else believed in that song. The label, we had a different manager at the time. Nobody, they were all like, we don't get it, right? And we were just like, no, this is coming out. Like, this song has to make it. It doesn't have to be a single if you guys don't like it. It just has to come out. And so they picked two other singles. Those came out, did fine, whatever. And 20-something just came out. And we had played a few shows on, we were on tour when the EP came out. We would play that one live. And people were, like, posting it online, like, asking for it. And it was just, like, it was crazy because when it was released, it wasn't like there was a crazy, you know, it wasn't on big playlists or anything like that, but over time people just started sharing it. Wow. And it, like, started going on, like, viral charts, like, just by, it was, like, the most organic thing. And I'm so, like, proud of that because the three of us, like, really stood our ground against everybody and just, like,
so good,
because we knew, like, it just felt like something. We didn't know, like, we didn't know if it was going to be big, and we didn't really care, but we were just like, this means something. So yeah, I don't know. That's a special one for sure.
I love that so much.
Yeah, still so many of our fans, like, one of their favorite songs. So yeah,
it
almost didn't happen, but
no, I'm so proud of you guys for standing your ground.
I know. And it just goes to show you guys know what you're about, and you know what you believe in, and if you stick to your guns, like, you will get there.
Yeah, and what your ideal audience, like, what their sound is like, and what they're wanting out of you guys as well. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I always say, like if we don't feel a certain way while we're making a song, then no one will ever feel a certain way, if that makes sense.
Exactly.
Like,
totally, you have to love your own product.
Like, there'll be times where, like, we'll, yeah, exactly. Like, there'll be times we'll be, like, writing, like, for this album, like, we one day, you know, we'll write, like, three songs, and we're all just like, eh, whatever. And then it'll take us 4 days to write one song, and then, but when we're doing that, we're all just, like, super stoked, and we're, like, all just jamming, putting parts into the song, and, you know, like, the flow is great, and we're like, okay, yeah, there's something to that, clearly, because we had the most fun making that. So anyone listening to this is probably, if they're going to feel an emotion, it's probably that one.
Mm. Yeah. No, I agree. I feel like sometimes when you know that you can, you've enjoyed the process of making something, whether the result is there or not, the process is what makes it so special. And to have both of that outcome be positive as well as that process is so lovely, and is probably the reason why the outcome became so strong as well. A question we ask all of our guests, and usually it's like one guest at a time, so instead of asking for three, we'll ask for one from each of you. So what is a song that brings out an emotion in you or a connection within you, and the story behind why?
I'll start this one because my dad used to play the guitar and sing, and he would play Sweet Baby James by James Taylor on the guitar, and he would sing to me and my sister. And I just, every time I hear that song, it just, like, brings me back to being a kid. It's, like, one of my most favorite songs. I just absolutely love it. It's like, just makes me feel, like, all warm and cozy.
Yeah.
You know, like,
when you're
a kid. Exactly. Like, you kind of lose that when you grow up, you kind of lose, like, that security blanket in a way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And just, like, a way, I just always just feel, like, very content and happy when I hear that song.
That's so wonderful.
I really like that. I often search for those things that bring out that inner child in me, and having a really special song like that with your dad must feel really good.
Not similar, but my dad used to love Led Zeppelin. It was, like, his favorite band. And, like, pretty much if we're in the car, like, we're listening to Led Zeppelin going to golf or going to baseball practice or something.
Bob, dude.
And I remember he has, like, a pretty good vinyl collection, but at one point he had, like, some CDs, and it was mostly Led Zeppelin CDs. So I would go down, like, take it out of his little cabinet, because he didn't care about his CDs as much as his vinyls.
Yeah.
And then I literally had it in my room on, like, my little, what do you call them?
Walkman? Like the Walkman?
And I literally just remember sitting in my bed, like, in the complete darkness. Not if you listen, it was a rain song. by Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's like the long, it's like 10 minutes long.
Yeah, and I would always
just sleep like real like this. And I just remember listening to it in complete darkness. And I would just keep replaying.
Complete darkness. It's so
sad. And then
be like, imagine your dad just opening the door.
That's so sad.
He's like, by word.
And he's like, what have I done?
I'm like, Dad, I'm listening to Rain Song.
He's on drugs. I kind of relate to that. I feel like I sat in the darkness alone listening to music a lot as a child. So I relate. It's fine. It makes sense.
Because like I'm not like in the family room just listening to my music because my dad would probably kill me.
Yeah.
Or something. But there's something about it. I'd be laying down.
Yeah, I know that. Everyone's sitting on a chair.
The intensity that you listen to music as kids. It's not like out listening now.
The intensity to do everything as a kid is just
so
like,
true.
Amazing, you know?
I know. Fully embrace every part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I have so many, like, moments that I feel like were awakening moments, like, for, like, music awakening. I don't know. That's a weird word to use, but it's like...
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, so it's hard for me to pick one. One of my earliest memories was, like, listening to Johnny Cash.
Oh, love it.
My grandparents, like, you know, for whatever reason, like, loved Johnny Cash. And I remember, like, seeing, like, his picture, you know, and, like, listening to the song and just feeling like it was the first time I remember feeling like I was listening to something from, like, a rock star, you know,
yeah.
Like somebody who's like an icon. So anytime I listen to Johnny Cash, but there's, like, a few other records. I remember feeling that way when I first heard, like, Parachutes by Coldplay. I was just, like, at a party, and I just remember, like, in the movies when the room just kind of, like, goes tunnel vision as, like, people all talking around but just feels like blur, and I was just like, what is this record, you know? So I don't know, there's a bunch, but I still feel that way when I hear Johnny Cash. I feel like, yeah, connected to, like, grandparents and family, and, like,
I
don't know,
that,
yeah.
I
and it's cool
really
being
do.
In Nashville now too, because that's like, he's obviously such a big part of this town. Johnny Cash. We have a Johnny Cash Museum, like, his where he used to live, like, his neighborhood is, you know, not too far from here. So, yeah, I don't know. And we have, like, you know, the same name. So I always felt
that weird connection.
I really love that all three of you, your answers have something to do with parents or grandparents.
I
find that very sweet.
And it's the way that we would pretty much answer the question as well. So it's we found that a lot of people will go back to childhood or, like, a parent showing them a song or a grandparent showing them a song. And it's the way you guys answered is exactly how we would answer. So really nice. It was beautiful.
Really nice, guys. Yeah. It's really beautiful.
So it's just like an interesting thing because, like, my wife and I have a son.
Oh, beautiful.
And
nice.
Like, seeing... like, you kind of re-experience the world through their eyes in a way.
I agree.
And I just, like, learned that, like, they're just, like, just little sponges.
I know.
Like, everything that they experience is just, like, the most amazing and fulfilling thing to them. And it's, like, the most mundane thing is, like, going... I took my son to Target this morning.
Yeah.
And he just was, like...
He's like, oh, my God!
Yeah, and I'm just like, dude, if I could have, like, a tenth of your excitement about anything ever... like, how much better would you experience life, you know?
I agree with you. And I don't know if it's the same for you, because I have a three-year-old as well.
Nice.
And when he listens to music, he's so musically driven already. And when he listens to music and he gets excited, it kind of takes me back to those days where I used to get so excited about music, and it brings up that kind of inner child comfort feeling. Does that happen to you?
Yeah. 100%. He loves music too. His name's Joe also.
So. Oh, that's so nice.
He loves all of our songs. He sings all of our songs
We have to run him by him. You know, if he's not digging it, then we're like,
probably no dice.
He's actually on the new album. One of the songs on there is called My Boys. And the song starts out with Joe saying, "Where are my boys at?"
Oh my God, I love that. That is
Where
gorgeous.
I love that so much.
Oh, kids, there's nothing like having a little munchkin. There really isn't.
It's the best, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you guys just like a sneaky, because I just need to know what it was like touring with All American Rejects.
Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
So, to be fair, we played 2 shows with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like a proper, like, tour. And it was, I mean, yeah, they're sick. Like, I remember seeing them, like, on Warped Tour and stuff. So, like, to play shows with them was, like,
so sick.
Cool, even though it was only 2 shows.
But... I stole a pick.
I would have stole it.
I'm sure I found it on the ground. It's just in my studio.
I think they're one of the most slept on bands ever because I when agree. You see them live and you realize the amount of smash hits that they have, it's unbelievable.
I know. And how much of their songs were in movies, and it's like no one even realized this. They were soundtrack songs. Oh.
It's nuts how many just massive songs that they
have. Yeah. No, they're so, like, sick.
Like, one album,
performing. Like,
100%.
Yeah, they're such good performers, too. Yeah, like, they feel like a real rock band. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was dope.
And he plays bass and synth.
Yeah. But, yeah, don't underplay that it was only 2 shows, because, like, that's, like, me just, like, being at a show would be amazing. So, you guys should really, like, feel proud of yourselves for getting that play.
It was amazing. It was awesome.
Yeah, it'd be insane. Yeah. Beautiful.
Well, it's not like we know them or like toured like for a month or something, but yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. So.
Very cool.
No, that's awesome. More about the feeling of like what you guys must have felt in that moment of like being able to perform for a band that like everyone knows the songs of sort of. Our last question we ask all of our guests is to let us know something that you would tell your younger self. So if you could speak to your childhood self right now, what's something you would say to them?
That's a great question.
I think mine would be just like, believe in yourself and follow your gut, because I feel like, especially in like a field like music or any creative field, that's like you really have to work. Like jobs are uncertain, money's uncertain. Like there's so many people telling you to like, oh, you know, that's plan B. What's your plan A? Or what's your plan B as a if you're not that doesn't work out. And I feel like when you're young, like you just need to trust like what you want to do, believe in what like your abilities and like what you want to do with your life. And like what makes you happy and just go with it. And like, it'll just work itself out.
I couldn't agree more with that. That's really, really relatable, especially when you're a creative person or you're in a field like you guys are in, or even like us, you'll have a lot of people that will just automatically assume until they see your success, they'll never assume that it's going to be successful. And so building that trust within yourself and that kind of clear direction to not anyone else's voice sort of get in the way. It's a really powerful message especially to give it to like build within a child. That's awesome.
Mine would be probably to hug my dad and spend more time with him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he passed away when I was in my early 20s.
That's so hard.
I think that would be my dad was like my best friend and we got along great. We hung out all the time. But you know, you don't really like think about it, you know, until after.
No.
That's why. So I think that would probably be mine. Like just like appreciate the amazing time that I had with him, just to appreciate that more, maybe spend a little bit.
That makes your song choice extra special. I'm so sorry you had to go through that.
It was hard, but you know, I think I've been blessed with amazing friends, and my father-in-law is like the most amazing guy ever. Very blessed to have him in my life. So
that's really beautiful.
I feel very blessed, other than the fact that my dad's not here.
But. Of course, yeah.
He's still with
very
you.
Lucky.
Yeah, he's still with, he's still with you, yeah. That's really beautiful, okay.
Oh, man, so many. Like, obviously everything they said, but maybe just to, like, go easy on yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I can definitely be really hard on myself, and you're always just, like, wanting to be somewhere else in life or wanting to be, you know, whatever the thing is, but it's, like, This is your body, this is your brain that you're, you know, this is your life, like, be good to it, you know?
Yeah.
This is all, kind of, like, all you have here and now, while you're on Earth, so, I don't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, I totally get you.
We're all human, so everybody's got their things. Don't, like, expect yourself to be, you know, perfect or whatever.
The strive for, like, perfection and not to fail or not to, like, or to just keep pushing yourself can be, like, can overtake the adult brain sometimes. So it's really important to take those steps back and, like, ground ourselves. And, like, that's why talking to our inner child or, like, doing things that, like, remind us of, like, when we were young, kind of, like you mentioned earlier, like, when you're a child, you experience everything in a whole different level. You're so excited to see like the basic things in life and to experience whatever you are experiencing. So it's really nice to reconnect. Like for me, I found that like reconnecting with that inner child is like really helpful in times where I am being a bit too hard on myself.
Another thing I would say too is just what you said. It was like, don't be afraid to fail, you know, like whatever you're doing. Like, cause if you, I mean, just like, I guess specifically in music, because that's what we're in, like in a music city, like Nashville, LA, and I'm sure, you know, plenty of other places. There's so many people who are so much more naturally talented than, you know, than us and like people who are whatever doing really well, but they're just so afraid to try anything that they never do. Like they're afraid to fail, so they never try, so they never, you know what I mean? And it's I think you have to be a little bit I don't know, you have to have like a little bit of like, I don't know what the word is, guts. But like guts, yeah, but guts. Like you have to just like not care, you know, in a way. Okay with like failing publicly if something isn't like a massive success right away. And plus same with anything, if you're an athlete, if you're, you know, entrepreneur, like what doesn't matter what it is, you have to like fail because that's how you learn, you know.
It's how you grow. Yeah,
that's exactly
I think it's a great message like for people who are listening as well, like regardless of what area they're in their life, or for future musicians that are like wanting to get out there, that's a really great message for them. Because I can imagine it being very, very daunting when you move to a town like that, like LA or Nashville, and you're trying to make a start, but you just, it's easy to just compare yourself to the competition in quotation marks. When really like you can't compete with like no one, you can't compare yourself to someone that's not you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dude, 100%. When we first moved to Nashville, I remember we like when John and I were like, oh, we're going to move to Nashville for 6 months. And we're just going to try it out and see if we like it. We went like to, there's in Nashville, there's like Broadway. It's like kind of touristy areas, like a bunch of bars, like live music, like 18 hours a day there's live music.
Oh wow.
And we went like a Tuesday at like one in the afternoon, and we walked in and the band was seriously unbelievable. The guitar player was like one of the best guitar players I've ever heard in my life. Wow. And I was just like,
it's like
a cover band. I'm dude, like this guy's here on a Tuesday at 1 p.m. Like, I'm gonna want to play guitar again. This is insane. I'm never gonna be anywhere near this. So but all that to say, it like really inspired me to, you know, kind of just get better at what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know? I think that that's like always a healthy way to look at things like that. There's always going to be someone who's better in some way than you, but that doesn't mean that it's, you can't.
But nobody can be better than you, you and you.
So. Exactly. Yeah.
That is so true. And
there's room for everyone, especially in the industry like music as well. So just because you feel that they're at their like their highest potential doesn't mean you can't also get there.
Yeah. 100%.
100%.
Yeah. Beautiful. I liked, they were great answers, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. This was great.
This was amazing. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, of course. We hope to make it down there to Australia for shows.
Oh my God. Let us know. We'll be there.
Yes, we'll be there. I'm
sick. We'll do 11 nights.
Please, 11 nights. Sold out. Marvel Stadium. Yeah. Boom.
Yeah. That would be amazing.
All right, guys. Well, we won't keep you because we know you've got it's nighttime. It's a nighttime over there.
It is.
You probably need to go to sleep.
Yeah. Well, great to meet you, L&L. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, guys. Bye.
No, I really, really enjoyed their company.
Me too. I really did.
Yeah, they were very fun, very fun, very exciting, very funny, and had great music taste, which I enjoyed the most.
Great music taste.
And
my nose is so itchy. It burns.
Dude, same
it
here.
Burns.
Can you imagine we wore these throughout the actual episode? Like throughout the interview?
No way.
I wouldn't have been able to keep a straight face.
No way.
But yeah, guys, please make sure you give Knightley's music a listen. They are absolutely fantastic.
They actually have fantastic music.
Yeah. And we are not kidding. If you are listening via the podcast, but you have not watched or seen their faces, please go give them a stalk, follow them on Instagram, and see how much he looks like the guy from Modern Family.
Yes, he does!
It blows my mind.
He does! Like, I feel like we'll be nice in the episode. We'll be like, you don't, like, you look a little bit like him, but he really looks like him.
It's mind-blowing. They are very, very talented guys, and they just... full of just full of excitement and laughter.
No, I really enjoyed playing the This or That with them. I loved how they were just so bothered by the first question.
I know, they're like, what?
They had a really hard time. We had a nice healthy debate. It was great.
I enjoyed it.
Me too.
I really, really enjoyed this conversation, and I can't wait to see what they bring out.
Cannot wait. Johnny, Joey, and Nick, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We love you.
Anyone beside you.
All right, I think I just ate a mustache here, so we should close out this episode. Thank you so much for listening, and listening to Nightly as well. They are amazing. We really do love them. Please remember to follow all of our socials. Remember to go follow Nightly. They really deserve all the recognition they get.
Yes, definitely.
All right, thank you so much, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.